This podcast is brought to you by Northern Motor Group. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Dave, it's great to have you on the show.
Good evening.
I hope you're well. There's plenty of action to talk about. The Socceroos obviously will determine their fate on Wednesday morning when they take on Syria in the final Group B fixture of the Asian Cup. How confident are you that Australia will advance to the knockout stages after that performance against Palestine?
Yeah, a lot more confident than last week when we spoke. It was a much improved performance against Palestine. There was a few changes and pretty much all of the attacking players, really made an impact in that game. And there was some real intent from the players individually and collectively. So, I'm far more confident. I mean, Syria will be a far tougher opponent than what Palestine were. We saw that in the World Cup playoffs, only a year or so ago. That's going to be a much tougher game. But to be honest, the destiny's in the Socceroos' hands. And if they can't get out of the group where, it's not just the top two, but a handful of the third place teams get through, then it's going to be a pretty sad day for Australian football. Obviously with that first game result, it's put them on the back foot mathematically. And Graham Arnold really needs to go into this final game, going in with his strongest team, and can't really afford to take any players or anything like that. They need to go full throttle and get the result.
And Dave, we saw Graham Arnold made quite a few changes to the team, which lost to Jordan, and we saw Jackson Irvine and Chris Economides get the nod to start, and both of them had fantastic games. So how much of the credit needs to go to Graham Arnold in this regard?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he obviously copped a lot of criticism off the back of the loss, and he deserves to get the credit for that win. Sometimes change for the sake of change is important, especially off the back of that first up performance. And certainly the two players you mentioned, I thought they were in terms of the Socceroos' performance and when Economides was. He was the main man, really. He's come on big time. I remember him getting the first call-up, a shock call-up under Postecoglou back in, off the back of the Asian Cup win in 2015. He was a 19-year-old or 18-year-old and hadn't yet played a senior game for Lazio. And Ange Postecoglou sort of plucked him from obscurity. One of the legacies that's been left behind by Ange, as well as Irvine, is another one that he sort of, plucked and gave him game shapes earlier than another coach would have. But the Economides in particular that we're seeing now, has really come on. And he was really close to cracking that first team in last year, but didn't quite work out for him. And his return to Western Sydney under Tony Popovich has certainly paid dividends. And it's good to see, because we haven't often seen, players come back to the A-League and, I guess, progress their individual careers. You see more sort of, regress. Economides has been in great form. And to have an A-League player to be your main man for the Socceroos at an international tournament, that's a massive feather in the competition's cap. So he will absolutely start in this next game. He's physically capable of doing it. He's barely skipped a beat in the A-League after starting, I think, the first game or two on the bench as Popovich has sort of carefully managed him coming into the A-League. And Irvine as well, he's battle-hardened. He's played pretty much every game this year for Hull City. Scored some goals just before joining the Asian Cup squad. So, they're both very different players to what the Socceroos have in the first 11, and they did really well. So kudos to them and kudos to Arnold.
Dave, what will happen now that Trent Sainsbury's suspended? Would you imagine that Graham Arnold will shift Mark Milligan into defence?
It's an interesting one. It's a really tough call for Graham Arnold, because Milligan has been really good in midfield. And this basically sums up Millsy's career. Whenever you think he's sort of settled somewhere, then he ends up moving. And off the back of his fantastic World Cup performances in defence alongside Sainsbury, I thought, well, this is it. He'll stay in the defence, moving forward, especially with the amount of depth that the Socceroos have in midfield. And lo and behold, Aaron Moy and a few other players go down and Millsy moves back into midfield. Suspension happens, and it's up in the air again. So it really, you know, without being over there, it's difficult to know what Graham Arnold's thinking. Obviously, he will be weighing up, do I go with, do I try and get that continuity going in midfield? Because either way, whether you put Milligan into defence or whether you draft in Matty German, you know, there will be a change, you know, to that back line. So Matty German's performances against Syria, where he debuted for the Socceroos, I think will be at the forefront of his mind. Arnold was the coach of the Sydney FC. Back then, you'll remember, you know, German had obviously just gone over to Korea. But, you know, his performances against Syria were fantastic and obviously earned him the call up to, you know, to the World Cup squad. So, look, either way, I'd be comfortable. But I think it'll really depend on what Arnold is thinking with the midfield, whether, you know, he wants that continuity slash keeping Milligan in there, you know, as well as just that defensive bite that he gives them. And that is absolutely critical, especially when you look at the fact that, you know, Mile Jedinak is no longer there. I mentioned it last week and I'll continue mentioning it because his presence has been so important for the Socceroos for the last 4 or 5 years. We saw it at the World Cup, even taking away his goals. His presence, his leadership is vital. So, you know, Milligan offers, you know, something similar, slightly different style of player, but he is that sort of commanding presence. He's vocal, he's got experience. So I get the sense that Arnie perhaps might be leaning towards continuing Milligan in there and, you know, throwing German into defence, alongside Deganek.
And Dave, one of the other midfielders who had a superb game on the weekend was Jackson Irvine, and I've no doubt that he'll start again against Syria. For a long time, because he didn't start a whole lot of games, we didn't quite get a gauge on where his best position on the field is. Now that he's had a full 90 minutes and had a fantastic game, do you think we've found out a bit more on where he's best suited on the field?
Yeah, yes and no. I just think that he's going to be one of those guys. We'll be having a similar conversation in 3 or 4 years' time about his best position. You know, he's capable of playing in that deeper role because he's got that sort of physical presence. He reads the game fairly well, but he can also play in a more advanced role. And his big threat is his goal-scoring threat. And the thing is, I guess he can be a goal-scoring threat even from deeper. In some ways, he can be more of a goal-scoring threat because he's coming from deep in those third-man runs and late runs into the box can make him harder to track. So I think, you know, his versatility will mean that he just keeps getting sort of chopped and changed and moved around moving forward. I think he's still got a lot of upside left in him. I think he's got a really, you know, bright club future. I think he's capable of playing in the Premier League, and I think he will one day, you know, because of, you know, the fact that he's pretty much... you know, he's nailed the championship. He's a highly respected player over there. And whether he gets, you know, promoted with a club or whether he gets one of those sort of, you know, promoted teams that, you know, that's played against him and he's caused them havoc, you know, end up signing him, I think he'll end up playing Premier League football and I think he'll end up being a danger man for the Socceroos. So, yeah, I still think it's just he'll be one of those fantastic players where you go, you know what, where you're taking a 23-man squad into a tournament, sometimes lesser for, you know, qualifiers and whatnot, and you need players with versatility. Him, just like Mark Milligan, become, you know, really important.
We are, of course, speaking to the Herald Sun, David Davidovich, on today's journos. And Australia will play Syria in the final group game with our fate still very much in our hands. Syria, of course, will have that night in Sydney at the back of their minds, and 12 of those 23 players were in that squad. Dave, they did recently sack their coach, so how much do you think their interim will be using that loss against Australia last or 2 years ago to motivate the team?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I travelled over to Malaysia for that first leg and you know, was mightily impressed with, you know, the performance the Syrians put in on that occasion. I thought it was an epic win, perhaps an underrated or understated one with the, you know, with regards to the Socceroos. And I still think this is happening at this tournament and will probably continue to happen for a while. We just continue to underestimate Asian opposition. I've been really enjoying watching, you know, this tournament. I mean, even seeing Qatar last night and, you know, seeing Vietnam play and just seeing the technical ability of some of these players. They are progressing at a rate of knots, and that's what's something that really has stood out with the Syrian side. I still think where we as an Australian team have an advantage is that we have more players playing over in Europe, you know, in these sort of tougher, you know, tactically advanced and more physical competitions. But that will slowly, I guess, dilute as more of these Asian players go and play abroad, and also as these Asian competitions improve. So, look, Syria will be no pushover. I think it'll be a really tough game for Australia, and I think by half time we'll have a pretty fair idea of how this, you know, result will finish up. And again, I touched on Mili Hedinak earlier. You know, Timmy Cahill, who can forget what he did against Syria, and you know, don't have him there now. And obviously, a lot's been made of the fact that, you know, McLaren got on the score sheet and Giannu and Andrew Nabut is now available, we're told, for this final game and bashing down the door. Beautiful problem to have for Graham Arnold, but, you know, it can, I guess those doubts can creep in really quickly, you know, if you get to halftime and you haven't hit the back of the net and, you know, some of those, you know, some of those questions are again asked. So I think it'll be a really important first half for the Socceroos to you know, get on the front foot against Syria and, we'll go from there.
And Dave, you touch on some of the injury news. Andrew Nabut will be welcomed back into the team after missing the first two matches due to that groin strain. Do you think that we can see him appear in this third group game?
Yeah, I think he'll play a part. I just think he's really, you know, he's perfectly suited to the Graham Arnold game plan. He can play anywhere across that front three. And I think he's a guy that can really cause some of these defences havoc. And, you know, he's got a few international games under his belt. He's got some international goals. He's played at a World Cup. You know, I'm not sure whether you'd start him. That will really depend on where he's at physically. In some ways, it's maybe riskier bringing him off the bench because, you know, if he breaks down coming off the bench, that's, you know, two subs that you've effectively wasted. So, look, that's something that they've got to assess. But, you know, Jamie McLaren off the back of his goal, you know, you'd think that he'll quite possibly start. But, you know, the beauty of Nabut is he's capable of coming off the bench and causing havoc. I mean, that's how he started his career, you know, from Melbourne Victory, later Sydney FC, coming off the bench, scoring a double. And, you know, I think he's perhaps more suited to being an impact player than McLaren and most certainly Giannu. So I think that's probably the way they'll do it. But a really good addition to come back into that squad. And, you know, he's not ideal because he dislocated his shoulder, obviously, at the World Cup. But he's been back for, you know, a couple of months now and got some games under his belt at Ottawa Red Diamond. So, you know, this latest setback's unfortunate. But, you know, I don't think it'll affect him too much.
And Dave, one of the other interesting subplots going on during this Asian Cup has been the where Milos Deganek will play his club football. And it was announced over the weekend that he has signed a 3.5-year deal for the Saudi Arabian side Al Hilal. What are your thoughts on this move away from Red Star?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one. I mean, he just moved to Red Star. He's of Serbian descent. So, you know, it was a smart move. And, you know, when you saw them playing in the Champions League and against Liverpool and Deganek doing well, you think, you know, wow, this is a great move for the kid and, you know, a shrewd move going back to Europe after his stint with Yokohama over in Japan. But, look, I don't know the specifics behind it in the sense that, you know, it was him more pushing the move or whether it was Red Star that were really, you know, keen to, I guess, cash in. Maybe it was a little bit of both. But, you know, there's no doubt that it would probably be a life-changing offer financially. And, you know, it's one of those where, I mean, we touched on Jackson Irvine. Now, I know he, a few years ago, got a similar offer from China and knocked it back to pursue, you know, his dreams of playing in the English Premier League. Tommy Juric knocked back a lucrative offer from China pretty much 4 years ago to the day. You know, Matthew Sparanovic has gone over to Asia. You know, other players have gone over and accepted these offers at a, you know, a similar sort of age. And you can't begrudge anyone. I mean, you don't know. I guess his personal circumstances obviously had a tough upbringing, you know, growing up in a war-torn situation. So, you know, we can sort of comment on the football. Obviously, staying in Europe would be, you know, the more logical choice in terms of his football development. But, you know, if you're going to get offered, and I don't know this for a fact, but you would suspect it would be, you know, somewhere between 5 and 10 times his current wage. You know, you can't begrudge the guy, and, you know, you can always say, yeah, that offer's going to come again. But, you know, have a look at Tommy Urich. I mean, 4 years ago, you probably would have said the same thing. But, you know, at the moment, he certainly doesn't have any offers, or certainly not lucrative ones coming from Asia. So, you know, it might end up being the only opportunity you get, you know, and he's taken it. So good on him. And, you know, there still will be, not to say that, you know, Saudi's a rubbish competition. I mean, you look at their national team, they're very strong. Most of their players play there. You know, Mark Milligan had a stint there. You've got Reece Williams there at the moment. You know, the ex-Croatian national team and West Ham boss Slaven Bilic is coaching over there at the moment. So, you know, it's a pretty good league technically. There's some very strong teams. It does drop away a little bit, but you know, there is a lot of pressure and responsibility on those visa players to stand up and perform. And if you don't, they ship you out of there pretty quickly. So, you know, I think he'll still end up being, you know, picked in the national team as long as he's playing regularly. And wish him the best of luck.
And Dave, touching on transfers, you broke the story about a potential marquee swap deal with City's Bruno Fornaroli and Perth Glory's Andy Keogh. What can you tell us about this current situation? But also, I hear that Melbourne City are looking to also put in a bid for Jamie McLaren.
Yeah, if the trade comes through, I'll be happy to claim it. But if it doesn't, we might just forget about that one, hey, down the track. But look, there's a little bit more to play out in this one. Nothing's been done at the moment, and it's basically at a standstill. And the story has sort of, you know, moved and ebbed and flowed. And I know a few people have, I guess, you know, asked questions about, you know, suggesting that the story was made up and whatnot. But this is what happens in the transfer window. Things move, you know, daily, weekly. And at the moment, there's an impasse. And my understanding is that Bruno Fornaroli clearly wants to get out of Melbourne City, and Melbourne City clearly want to get rid of Bruno Fornaroli. My understanding is that he's been told that you can go to any club bar, Perth Glory. Bruno's pretty keen to go to Perth Glory, from my understanding. So I guess the issue for Melbourne City, if they don't get Bruno off the books now, it's going to be very difficult for them to bring in certainly a marquee striking replacement. I'm not sure how they would fit in Jamie McLaren unless they could move on Bruno, unless it's a really heavily back-ended contract. There is a spot that has opened up with Michael O'Halloran leaving, but there's certainly a massive discrepancy in terms of the wages that are being discussed with McLaren and the wage that O'Halloran was commanding. So, and they were sailing pretty close to the breeze with regards to the salary cap. So it's going to be interesting to see how this one plays out. What are we now? January 14, 15. Not sure what day it is at the moment.
14.
Yeah, there we go. We're all in holiday mode at the moment, aren't we? But January 31 is the close of the A-League transfer window. I don't think it'll go that late. I think we'll know one way or the other within the next sort of, you know, 7 to 10 days whether Bruno Fornaroli will stay or go. So I think he's played his last game for Melbourne City. I can't see him staying there beyond January unless something, you know, crazy happens. I mean, I'm not sure why you'd sort of keep a player there, you know, that's not going to play. But, you know, it's one of the problems with not having a transfer system here, isn't it? I mean, if you did have a transfer system, you could sort of, you know, whether it's Glory or Sydney FC or one of the other clubs, you know, come in and pay the 250 or 300,000, whatever it is, that you know, that Melbourne City are asking for. He goes and, you know, everyone moves on and lives happily ever after, and Melbourne City can go on and bring in a replacement. But like this, the only way they can bring someone in is if they get rid of Fornaroli. So that's why this trade with Andy Keogh, as bizarre as it sounds, and the fact that Keogh's scored, what, 8 goals now for Glory, scored another one last night. You know, they don't really want to get rid of him, but you know, it's almost a perfect storm that's brewing. So, yeah, watch this space.
That's exactly right. I don't understand why you would change a winning formula if you were Perth Glory.
Yeah, that I guess that's, you know, that's part of the discussions that they're having over there. But yeah, I guess Brendan Fornaroli is a really special player. So whether, I mean, I think in an ideal world, it'd be a case of, yeah, let's get Bruno in and play him up front with Andy Keogh. That would be a pretty frightening front two. But as it stands, I believe that they're pretty filled up as well in terms of the squad, squad size and the salary cap. So, you know, Diego Castro is the other marquee. So, you know, if you're talking literally, it's, you know, that's the only other player that you could trade, and I don't think that will be happening. So, yeah, I'm not sure exactly, you know, the conversations that have been had behind the scenes. Bruno and Keogh are in very similar, you know, positions in terms of their connection with a club and the length of time they've been there and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, it's a very interesting one, Louise. I'm just reporting the news. I'm not sure exactly, you know, why and how it's got to this, but, yeah, discussions have certainly been had behind the scenes, and yeah, it is very much a moving feast.
Well, thank you so much, Dave. We appreciate you coming on the show as always, and look forward to chatting to you again at the same time next week.
Thanks, guys. All the best.